This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show, The Playmakers, aired on WNM 90.5 on Saturdays from 12:30 to 2 p.m. I'm your host, Michael Trim Jr., and in today's show, we have some great topics. We'll be discussing FAMU's 2025 schedule review, give our early record predictions for the team and why. We'll discuss the most disappointing teams this college basketball season and who has the most to gain from winning the Super Bowl and more. But to help me with these topics, we got some great guys in the studio.
Yo, it's your boy EJ, aka EJR3. Every junior remember, let's make some more.
Yo, Jason Berry, first time here. JB the King, if you don't know me, check me out.
Got a live show playmaker on the show, man. Welcome to the show, man.
Yes, sir.
It's your boy Jay Scott telling you what's hot, what's not on 90.5 The Flavor Station from 813 Tampa, Florida. You know it.
Big Lloyd back in the radio station, man. What's up, 90.5? We here today. Exciting show for y'all. Bringing that sauce all the way from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Y'all know the deal, man. Let's get it.
Hey, man. Y'all know who it is, man. Back in live and direct. Ain't been in the studio in a little minute. You know, fresh off of graduation. But you already know I ain't forgot the intro, man. It's GT. They call me 3-Pete from the 912. Let's get it, man. We live in the red. Let's get it.
All right, we're going to start with G here. You know, a couple days ago, FAMU released their 2025 football schedule, and I want to just get your thoughts on it.
It's a very exciting schedule. Like, this is a schedule that it got some games on there that you definitely can circle. Like, and honestly, I feel like it's one of the challenging schedules in recent years. And it got some pretty good home games. Like, first off, that North Carolina Central game, like, that's gonna be a MEAC SWAC challenge showdown right there. You know, I know it's not the MEAC SWAC challenge, you know, yearly game, but I mean, that's gonna be a game that's really gonna show FAMU what they made up for it. But even opening the season against Howard in the Orange Blossom Classic, like when I was talking to Coach Cozy, he was saying like it kind of gives you a chance to see where your team is at when you're playing against a team on your level in the first game of the year, instead of playing, you know, going to play against the Troys and the Miamis like they did last year within the first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
So it's a very exciting schedule. That North Carolina Central game, I'm very excited about that. And then that stretch where it starts with who's the team that it starts with? It's starting like October or late September. That's when the season starts. And it ends with Jackson State at home. So none of y'all know. None of y'all remember
Alabama State.
She's
talking about Alcorn, the week
before.
Really?
The week before homecoming.
Oh, NC Central.
It's Central, and then it's Alcorn for homecoming.
Yeah. That stretch from Central to Jackson State. That's going to determine your season right there.
I feel like a lot of these matchups are things that we wanted to see like two seasons ago when we were at like our peak. Like, bro, I would have killed to see Coach Simmons Rattlers versus Coach Oliver's Eagles at Central. I mean, people predicted that to be the celebration.
We got robbed at a matchup.
No, for real. And then, like, I'm still glad we got at least, you know, one gimme game and then one, you know, cash game with FAU and Albany State. But it's going to be a challenging schedule. But I think it's going to be entertaining for football's sake. Nobody really wanted to see another Mississippi Valley, although we got to go to Mississippi Valley this season. With something to prove, like, that shouldn't have been the case in the first place. But I think this year we'll get a real test to see how much Coach Cozy has really advance his program, and where his future lies with it. I don't think it's going to be anything where it's like, you know, the hot seat after if he has a bad season, but it's really going to be a testament. It's like, all right, you have your own recruiting class now, you have your own coaches now, because a lot of the coaches had exited out of the staff. You bring in a few guys, so this is really your team now. I want to see how they progress this season.
EJ, I think this schedule is exciting. I think it's more challenging, kind of like what Jalen was saying to back that up. I would have liked to see this schedule with the team that Coach Willie had, but nevertheless, this game I'm really looking forward to, like Jackson State at home.
That's gonna be a great game.
Really looking forward to that. Like I said, exciting schedule. Would have loved to see it 2 years ago, but it's here now. Made the best of it.
Yeah, I agree, man. Definitely that Jackson State game is the game I'm looking forward to the most. After they had such a great season last year, just to cap off like that stretch that we were talking about earlier, that start with NC Central, I think that game is really gonna like show. We gonna have to show out. We gonna have to show up and show out and show what FAMU football really is.
My only concern is that, can you see like any like real life convincing wins on the schedule outside of Albany State?
Convincing wins?
Like surefire wins?
Yeah.
No. Just Albany State. That's the point.
Not Pine Bluff.
I mean, I'm thinking about Pine Bluff, but at Pine Bluff this late in the season, remember what happened last time? We went to a bottom tier SWAC West team late in the season. We got shut out of the SWAC championship. That was Prairie View, so I can't completely rule it out either.
Prairie View, the quarterback was hurt though. They was going. Come on now.
Here's my thing about this year though. You talk about this tough stretch being after we played North Carolina Central. That's going to determine our season. What I like about that is from North Carolina Central to Jackson State, three out of those four games are at home.
Yeah,
so I like.
A lot lot more home games this year.
A lot more.
And I think that relates to the Arkansas Pine Bluff game, because if you get through that stretch, hopefully by that November point, right before you go to Huntsville to play Alabama A&M, hopefully by that point the team is hitting its stride, so that way, you know, we don't have to experience a loss or losses like we did that were pretty embarrassing last year, to say the least.
And I'm gonna keep it real. I mean, I don't know how realistic this is to happen, but having those two MEAC teams is that's very important, because, yeah. I mean, I know the MEAC and the SWAC, they're not the toughest conference to play in, but the MEAC, you know, sometimes they have teams go to the NCAA playoffs. So if it's an event where FAMU, you know, is one game out of the SWAC championship and can't go as they were, you know, in the 2021 to 2022 seasons, it's a chance if they go out there and beat Howard and beat North Carolina Central, those could be chalked up as quality wins for them to get extra football at the end of the season. But I mean, you already know what they want to go to Atlanta. So
yeah.
But I mean, that's another way to look at it too.
Okay. Now, what is your record prediction for the Rattlers this upcoming season?
Start with me.
Yeah, we can start.
I can see an 8-4 season.
Oh my goodness.
But also 8-4 can easily be 6-6.
It could easily be 4-8.
I wouldn't go that far.
I would.
Okay, give me your four wins and then give me your eight losses. Actually, give me your eight losses first.
Eight losses? All right. Howard, FAU.
Shout out, Pops.
Alabama State, NC Central. Southern, Jackson.
So basically, you think they losing damn near every...
Seven games.
Basically, you think they losing every SWAT game.
Every pretty much. SWAT.
That's what I'm saying, bro. We look like 0-1 in the SWAT, or yeah. 1-6, what was it, 6 or something?
The only win in the SWAC he got is what, Valley and Alcorn?
Valley, A&M.
Boy, you sound crazy.
Valley and A&M?
Valley, A&M, and Pine Bluff is in the SWAC, right?
Yeah.
That's three.
You didn't say, okay, for sure.
I ain't counting them as losses.
All right, yeah, you're right. You're
so
right.
You got them going 3-5 in the SWAC.
Yeah, I got them beating. I got them beating Albany
all,
State.
All the bottom feeders.
Correct. This is just based off of today.
It could change. Know.
I'm honestly predicting another season like last year.
Bro, we won five games.
Huh? We won six.
We won six games last year.
We won 7-5 last year.
Seven, yeah.
Oh, I'm thinking conference games. My fault.
But another seven-win season. I mean, if you look out how the layout of this is set up, it's not that much different than last season, just with better quality teams. You open up the season with a MEAC team. Obviously, this is a familiar opponent, not just because they play each other in Celebration Bowl, but because FAMU and Howard used to be rivals. They're both in the MEAC. So you have a toss-up week one. No one knows what's going to happen with that one. You have your cash game at FAU. I mean, I'm not really sure what the FAU situation is looking like right now. I know they had a coaching change, but I'm still not seeing that as like a convincing, oh man, let's go out there and shock the world. You got a cash game. Your first home game going to be Albany State. Then you got a bye week. So out of those, what's up?
Trim, you got them losing the Classic?
That's a great question.
You got them losing the Classic?
To Badon?
Yeah.
No.
So, okay.
He might have to redo it. So, who's your eight losses? I feel like your math didn't add up. Yeah, I'm messing with
you. Eight losses were
going to
be.
Trim just ready to hate on somebody today, man.
Woke up ready
one,
to hate today.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
SWAC teams, though. Count the SWAC teams.
Okay. I'm at 7 losses. I'm not at 8.
7 SWAC losses or 7 losses altogether?
No, 7 losses altogether.
Okay.
That's a 5-7 season.
So you tried to go for 4-8 and ended up going 5-7.
Nah, the 8 was just like off the, because he said 8-4. So I just flipped it.
But like I was saying, you open up the season against the MEAC team. That's a toss up. You got your money game. You got your gimme game. Now you go into SWAC competition. Last year, they opened up SWAC competition with, I want to say, Alabama State as well.
Alabama State, yeah.
Alabama State. So you open up with Alabama State again with the SWAC. I think that's a very winnable game. At Valley is going to be another winnable game, I think.
They owe Valley B2A.
Yeah. No. They genuinely need to prove something against Valley, because the way that they exited that stadium last year, I still remember. Like, I was in the press conference just sitting there like, it was me and Country. We were both sitting there like, what just happened? And you got players coming to the press conference talking about, man, we sent y'all home. Bro, I'm media. What are you talking to me for? I just work here. But like I said, I think this is more or less a similar layout, except for having a later MEAC game with Central instead of South Carolina State to begin your home stretch of games. But yeah, I see 7-8 wins. I think we're winning the Classic. It's really just going to be that at Southern game is going to be a big termination of our season. Lose that, it's already hard to claw yourself back into SWAC competition. But on top of that, you're carrying losing momentum into Jackson, who I think Jackson's homecoming. on top of that. So, or no, sorry, we have Jackson at home. Yeah, my bad. Yeah. We have Jackson at home. So I think we're Southern's homecoming. My bad. Yeah, it's gonna be very interesting come October 25th. But I see 7-8 wins.
And let's not forget these boys about to play 9 straight games.
Yeah. There's a severe lack of bye weeks like there were last season.
Boys better hope it's a storm come through again like last season.
Jason?
I think I see about 7-8 wins.
Y'all generous.
I don't know. I think a lot of home games is gonna help a lot. I feel pretty confident that we start off the season, especially coming off that bye week, pretty good. Then when we go into Central, or when Central comes here, that's gonna be a test. But I think this team, you know, last year had its up and downs. I think we bounce back, and hopefully just have a better, just all together a better season. I think 7-8 wins is very achievable, and that's where my prediction would be.
EJ and Justin, I'm gonna let y'all go, but I still want to hear like what Trim's reasoning for all of this is.
Can I throw out just a little piece of information? So I talked to Cozy last week and he was like, bro, you know, around this time last year, we had 61 players on our team.
Yeah.
He said, now we got 94.
Yeah.
Because you coming off a coaching transition and, you know, it took a little minute for the coach to get in place. So you got people jumping in the portal, you know what I mean? So, you know, but now he has a full offseason. He got his staff now. You know, he got all the people that everybody that's on the staff now. I think people that he hired. I mean, he got to get a new defensive coordinator, but
he just hired
Jeffries.
Yeah, Jeffries, the receivers coach.
Mm-hmm, so that means he has no excuses. He got his guys.
Yeah, he got his guys in. He got his brand of players in. It's right. Not really any more Willie Simmons holdovers like that. So you know, it's his time now.
Mm-hmm. So when he went to bed, I have every right to slander him.
Okay, we gonna let EJ and Justin go, but I still want to know what your reasoning is for it. At some point,
I don't think Cozy's a good coach.
Wow. All right, EJ, go ahead.
All right. I'm dancing between the 9-win, 8-win area. Wow. I know that's high, but I'll give. I know it's high.
That's swag championship.
Yeah, I know it's high, but that's because I'm dancing. I'm giving you 3 losses: Howard, FAU, and North Carolina Central. And the 4th loss I'm dancing with is with Jackson. Other than that, I have faith, and that's based off.
So they're winning everything in the swag.
I believe so. That's just me.
Jackson game is going to be interesting because they returned a lot of people.
Yeah, but I just can't be mad. Like when Trim goes, I'll probably speak a little bit more on this. But Trim was calling Cozy a bad coach. It's tough for me to, because I think G had said this in the show back then. But he was saying Willie's first year, I think he went 7-5 as well, or something like that. So
6-5 and blew the MEAC lead at the end of the season.
So, and look at that. So it's just I can't really jump to bad coach. I think going positive in your first year, that coaching transition, everything going on.
You're above 500 your first year.
I can't be too mad at him. I think they're gonna make the changes they need to make. And they're going to win.
I understand that.
I'm gonna say this right here though. You know, last year, 2 years ago now, in 2023, Jackson went like 7-5, and they went and got new coordinators and all that. And y'all saw where they was at in December. So.
That too. Sure. That the new coordinators that we're gonna bring in.
Defense coordinators gonna be interesting. I've heard of a few different names thrown around, including one of the old coaches from Howard. Obviously, he's a family friend, but it'll be really interesting to see what they pull out,
Justin.
I'm looking at 7 wins. That's my ceiling right now for the team. The subjects will change. My biggest concern to me is probably what the quarterback play is going to be. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that competition shapes out. I also look at this schedule, and I think we have a good – it's a favorable schedule, in my opinion. I know there's going to be some tough games along the way, but getting a chance to play your rivals, most of your rivals at least, at home, you can never take that for granted, and I like our chances to kind of get through the tougher patch of it. As I stated before, so yeah, 7-5 is my ceiling for right now. I think it could be higher, but I'm really just looking at the quarterback play mostly.
I think 7-5 is a reasonable ceiling. Would I have 5-7? I think that was basically the floor. I mean, I could see worse, but I don't know. I feel like we're missing the point of what happened last year. We lost to Mississippi Valley at home, which ended the streak. Who else we lost to? We had a bad loss to
Prairie View. You can chalk it down to D. Rich went down.
Prairie View, Alabama State. That was a dogfight. Bethune. That game was closer than it needed to be. So it's like I'm just not confident in Cozy's ability to coach this team, and I wouldn't be surprised if we moved off of him after this season.
I think that's just a sign that expectations are a bit too high on him year one.
That's what I was getting at when I first was mentioning the record, and I feel like Cozy. Everyone's like 7-5, you know, moving on from them this quick is kind of crazy to start talking about. It just feels so soon and it feels so like Like, we're jumping ship for what? Like, yeah. It's been 1 year, y'all.
This year, too, now.
College basketball season's been going crazy right now. Obviously, we're in February. March just around the corner. You've kind of seen teams sort of hit their strides. Some have been disappointing. Some have been overperforming. But my question to y'all really has been, who's been the biggest shock on the lower end of the spectrum?
My answer for me, personally, is the Baylor Bears, man. I thought that this was going to be a squad that had Final Four potential. It's really not looking like that. I love the fact that VJ Edgecombe, you know, that's my
I was gonna say top VJ, three. Your guy,
hey, top three projected pick for me. You know, if we had a board right now, you know, he'd be in my top three. I love the fact that he's getting a chance to develop. He got hurt last game, though. I love that Rob Wright is coming on later on in the season, too. But I just think that bringing in Jeremy Roach, as far as some of the other veterans they had as well from last year, I like their chances to at least be able to win the Big 12, but it's not looking like it's going to happen. So they're a disappointment for me.
I'll go next. My biggest disappointment is Rutgers.
That's where I was going.
Bringing in two top three players in the country, and you're not even ranked, and you're nowhere near ranked. And I had higher expectations. I didn't think Ace Bailey was that good, but, you know, I'm just a hater. So yeah, I still intended to have high expectations for him being able to contend with Cooper Flagg for the top pick in the 2025 draft. But I think his teammate, Dylan Harper, has outperformed him and is going to probably be the second overall pick in the draft.
Yeah, I agree with you. They don't have any centers. Like, they have no centers. And then when Dylan Harper isn't playing, the team is nothing. Like, he's the quarterback of the team. Mm-hmm. So I feel like everybody's play is better and a lot worse when their play is a lot worse when he's not on the court. And he's been battling with some sickness, and then he had an ankle sprain too. So definitely a disappointing season for them.
I'm going to stick in the Big Ten. I'm going to go with Indiana. Indiana had a lot of high expectations going into this season. They were projected actually to win the Big Ten and then go deeper into March. But after that loss to Maryland, they lost, four of their last five? Something like that on the schedule, and it just hasn't been clicking. And honestly, I'm not really sure. Like, I'm not a big college basketball person, so I'm not sure what I'm exactly supposed to be watching. But I remember hearing Indiana's name being brought up a lot, and this season they've been underperforming. There's no tomorrow.
Yeah, I was leaning towards Indiana, but is it crazy for me to say UConn? Just from a standpoint of, like, kind of how that program is viewed and kind of how they've been.
It's a blue blood program.
Yeah,
and like, you can't say that other blue bloods aren't struggling right now. I mean, you look at UNC.
Yeah. That's why I was like, it's definitely other programs struggling. But for me, I'm going to go with UConn. Just in the month of January, dropping games to Villanova, Creighton, and also Xavier. It's just, I don't know. I guess I expected more out of the program and to see, like, where they are now. I think they're, 25 right now?
Yeah.
They're barely scraping the top 25.
Yeah, they're barely scraping the top 25. To me, I just expected more out of a blue blood. But obviously, there's other blue bloods struggling, too.
All right. As we all know, the Super Bowl is coming up this Sunday, and we have the Chiefs versus the Philadelphia Eagles. So my question to you all is, who has the most to gain, or which player has the most to gain from winning a Super Bowl?
Mahomes.
I feel like Mahomes.
I disagree.
But even, okay, wait. Why do you disagree?
Most to gain?
Yeah. Most to gain.
I feel like Mahomes, I mean, he's won two rings already. I feel like he's won three rings already. Yep. He's already been doing his thing. We already know he's the best quarterback in the league, no matter how he plays in a regular season. Mm-hmm. He's already looked at highly. I feel like person to gain the most is definitely Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts, no matter what the Eagles' success, he never gets the credit for it because of Saquon, because of the offensive line. If Jalen Hurts would have won a quarterback, you can't really discredit him at all anymore.
The only reason I disagree with you is because when we talk about Mahomes, right, any conversation we bring up now, bringing him up as if he is the GOAT. But that's always been debatable because he's never done beat Brady.
Right.
You have the opportunity to do something that Brady never did, and no quarterback in the NFL did,
never
win three straight Super Bowls.
I think a three-peat will kind of get you in that GOAT conversation. It's
already,
it's kind of like a three-peat, that's something Brady's never done. That's something no one's ever done.
That's true.
Very few franchises in sports have done. I think the last franchise to do that was the Lakers.
In 2001.
Exactly.
02.
Yeah.
2000.
It's really tough to, because as Jalen was just saying, he's lost to Brady twice in the postseason.
Exactly.
It's tough to, when it's all said and done, when we're comparing the two, I'm saying adding a three-peat to his resume.
That's a one-up,
It's going to be a one-up. So that's what I'm saying. In terms of that, that's the most to gain. However, to your point, though, I believe Jalen Hurts is second, because, yes, he does get discredited a lot. And even if they win, though, I think if they win, a lot of people don't give the credit to Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're just going to say this team last year was a first-round exit. They're just going to say Saquon Barkley got you there. So even then, I don't think Jalen Hurts is going to get the credit you think he's going to get by winning.
I disagree.
You think so? Well, I already know about you, Trey.
No.
Go ahead, Trey.
So What if Saquon Barkley only rushes for 50 yards and Jalen Hurts throws for 300?
Then they lose.
So what's the credit going?
They're not winning the game.
They don't credit Saquon to getting him there in the first place.
That's true, too. But I mean,
the
like,
quarterback just threw for 300 Trim, and Super Bowl and
won. You think they're winning the game if Saquon rushes for 50 yards?
I'm about to say
absolutely
the Chiefs.
Not. No.
But still, if Jalen...
But I'm saying, if that happens, like,
yeah.
I'm going to look at Jalen Hurts and be like...
We're talking one of the hugest ifs right now. Like, I think most of the world would be shocked if Saquon Barkley ends up with 50.
The Eagles win the Super Bowl at all, to be fair.
The Eagles haven't, I mean, the Chiefs haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher in, like, the last 19 games or something like that in the playoffs.
Yep, they haven't.
So it's like, I wouldn't be shocked if Saquon doesn't get 100 yards.
100 yards is 50 yards to me. I feel like he'll probably dance around the 90 mark, but the Eagles' offense prides on the fact that Saquon's going to get the ball.
Oh, no, but if Saquon gets shut down, I mean.
Well, if Saquon gets shut down, the game is over.
Justin?
My answer for this is actually, I'm going to have to agree with the answer, Jalen Hurts.
Let's go.
I mean, my best comparison for this is you have the 73-9 Golden State Warriors who just came off of winning a title, have Steph Curry for the next few years of their franchise, right. They have a chance to go make history in the championship, and you would say they have the most to gain because they can complete that season and win a championship, and everybody has them in the crazy team conversations, but then what happens? LeBron comes in, takes it from them, and that moment lives on forever, and it's the most undeniable trophy LeBron will ever have in his closet, in my opinion, is that championship.
Did you just compare Jalen Hurts to LeBron?
No, I'm not comparing Jalen Hurts to LeBron.
Y'all hearing, but y'all not listening.
He's comparing the situations.
No, the situation makes complete sense. It's comparable.
I
just don't think Hurts
is... It was something that they could... No matter what happened for the rest of LeBron James' career, they could never take that away. And I think when you look at this Chiefs team, how they're legendary, how legendary they are, how they have
that's fair.
Who is considered like to be the best player in the world right now.
It's a cool
You get to,
like
if you're Jalen Hurts, you get a chance to not only do that, but I will say throughout Jalen Hurts' career, he's been plagued by not showing up in big moments. It's been going on throughout his entire career. It's what got him benched at Alabama. That's how he went out at Oklahoma. That's what happened in the Super Bowl. You get to erase all of that.
Whoa, hold on now,
Justin. You say that's what happened in the Super Bowl, the last Super Bowl?
No, I'm not saying he cost him the game the last Super Bowl. He showed up, but there was that thing where it's like, oh, if he doesn't fumble the ball, there's a chance they win the game. So even that was, there was an asterisk next to that performance for him as well.
But you know what?
I think this is a chance to get that. I think this, him getting this win over a legendary Chiefs team, a Chiefs team that's lost one game, they've gone through the gauntlet of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL right now during the last 3 years. Think about Mahomes going through Burrow, Lamar, and I'm blanking on his name, Allen, back to back to back. And then he faces Hurts and he loses. I think that's a big moment for Hurts' career. And no matter what happens for the rest of his career, he could never play another game ever again after that Super Bowl.
To justify Justin's take, look at a quarterback who's in the same predicament, even though they haven't been back to the bowl in a while. Look at how we hold Joe Burrow up. We mentioned, whenever we talk about Joe Burrow, we talk about how the fact that he was the only quarterback in the AFC to beat Mahomes. Hurts has the same ability to do that and get a ring on top of that. So I understand his take.
I agree with his take. To his point, to his comparison about the Cavs, do we all really think Jalen Hurts is the LeBron?
Absolutely not. I feel like y'all are hearing him and not listening. I'm saying if the Eagles beat the Chiefs, I'll go further with you. Can anybody take that crap away from Kevin Love? Can they take it away from Kyrie Irving? It doesn't matter who Jalen Hurts is.
Not even Mozgov.
Mozgov wasn't even on the team.
It could be Dellavedova, J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert. It doesn't matter who was on that team. They will never be able to take that moment away from them. Never.
No, I agree with you.
We can say that about Pat McCaw in 2019 when he won the chip. I mean, 2018.
Actually, Pat McCaw three-peated.
And that's different because he was literally playing on the team that was
really
supposed to win that.
It's really tough for me to act like I don't see, even if the Eagles win, if the world of the Eagles win, it's really tough for me to not act like Saquon Barkley doesn't get most of the credit, regardless of the stats. It's really tough for me to see a world where we don't think about it like, oh, well, this team was what it was before. Mm-hmm. Look how much Saquon Barkley got there. A 2,000-yard rusher. Yeah. Got him to the Super Bowl. Won the Super Bowl. That's just the pure addition of Saquon Barkley in the defense. It's going to be really tough for this quarterback, win or lose, for them to not say, oh, Hurts like led this team to Super Bowl. They're going to say he's surrounded by a team. And that's not, again, it's not, I disagree with your point, Justin. It's just really tough because of the team he has around him. He'll have it with him. He got a ring. But if you bring it up 5 years from now, you saw the team he had around him?
If we want to take it another basketball analogy,
it's like
analogy,
how Brad Purdy was.
The Warriors. When they added KD to the team, they couldn't get over the hump. They got beat by James.
What are we doing with these analogies?
You know what? I don't want to hear about analogies.
Saquon Barkley is not Kevin Durant. And the Eagles made it to one Super Bowl before they lost.
And the it's Warriors
not like
made
were,
it to
it's one, not like they were in the Super Bowl.
And the Warriors made it to one Finals before that. And
no, they didn't. They went to two.
Oh, okay, my fault.
If you would have said if you would have said the 49ers got Saquon or something like that, okay, I would understand it. But like, for what?
I'm just saying, adding a piece kind of, adding an impactful piece that much affects how everybody's going to view on it, like, looking back on it.
Okay, compared
to like, I think when it comes to these types of matchups with the top quarterbacks in the NFL, whether it's Brady, Mahomes, Peyton Manning, it doesn't matter. I think we underestimate how much we really key in on the other quarterback on the other side of the field. Like, that, it almost supersedes anything else going on, because we mentioned that Joe Burrow win against Mahomes a couple of years ago. Not many people credit the defense for what they did in the second half. They look at Joe Burrow and they say Joe Burrow won that game.
I agree.
And partly he did, but I think if you're Jalen Hurts, this is the last performance of the season, and you didn't play horrible the last time you faced Mahomes. I think the combination of that performance, along with him doing well in this game and actually winning and getting over the hump, hey, that's a remarkable achievement for his career. And for me, that's more to gain than what Mahomes has.
G?
I got to say Hurts gains the most out of this. Just just off the fact he gets to, I guess, dethrone the guy that's been running the league the last few years, really almost since he's been in the league, as long as he's been in the league. And yeah, I know people always say, oh yeah, he's surrounded by talent and all that stuff, but I don't know, man. I just think it's just something different about, you know, stopping a three-peat regardless of what team. How you going to fault the man because who he got around on his team? You know what I mean?
I think you should fault him. I just think that's how it's going
to
be.
Yeah, but I mean, I give credit to Jalen Hurts, you know, winning, because, I mean, you need it.
Yeah.
You need a quarterback to go out there and win.
I believe everyone in here will give Jalen Hurts credit.
Who's the last team to win with a sorry quarterback? The Broncos when they had Peyton Manning on his last year?
The Eagles with Nick Foles. But I can't even. He outperformed in what he was supposed to do.
Yeah, I was about to say, did y'all see Peyton Manning that year, his last year on the Broncos? That's the last team that really had a sorry quarterback lead them to the Super Bowl. And Peyton Manning, a legend now. I ain't hating on him, but come on now. That man threw like 30 interceptions that year. And had like 7 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Look up the stats. If
I would love to agree with the Jalen Hurts tape, but I just think in comparison with Mahomes being able to get the 3-peat, it's just not as much as what Mahomes would get.
The media, of course, the media is gonna hype up the 3-peat. That's what you real, man.
But
the
that's
media.
What I'm going off of, because that's what we talk about, like, gaining. That's what you gain. That's what comes with it. That's the biggest part of it. Like,
I think
how you'll be viewed by the overall presence of the media, not just what, like, because personally, I would agree with y'all with Jalen Hurts, because it's like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Through your whole career, going back to what Justin was saying, getting benched in the national championship, it would be great to have a Super Bowl win where you played and started through. That would be great for Jalen Hurts and a big accomplishment for him. But in comparing to like the presence in the media, what will happen, Mahomes getting the three-peat will be bigger than the impact of Jalen Hurts winning.
Yeah, I don't think y'all realize how impactful a three-peat is. That's like
three-peat is crazy.
Immortality. And especially for a guy like Mahomes.
It's the first time in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like that's going first time in the NFL, not just, you know.
This is the first time somebody was able to compete for it in Super Bowl. Like, I don't think
You said compete?
Like, went to the Super Bowl.
No, yeah. Went to the Super Bowl for three times? Nah, the Bills did it.
The Bills went two times in a row and lost all of them.
Yeah.
They got to compete, but they lost 4 times in a row. They won 4 straight Super Bowls and lost all 4.
I think he's asking is like the first time they won back-to-back.
I think that's what he's asking, a different type of question. Like, they won twice and then they went to that third
I'm pretty sure this is the first time.
I believe the Packers early
Packers,
on.
Yeah, the
I think
no,
the
Packers
the quarterback got hurt. The quarterback. I just watched a video on it. Yeah, the quarterback got hurt. But speaking of Super Bowls, Cooper Kupp, Super Bowl MVP. He's available for trade. What is your ideal trade destination for Coop? We can start with Jalen.
You, sir, are a Buccaneer now. But honestly, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. What he provides for teams, I think, is going to be a bit of veteran leadership on top of still being a threat in the slot. Kupp still runs some solid routes. I think he's one of the better route runners in the NFL. It just it depends on the system. And with so many different offensive-minded coaches kind of moving around franchises, it's going to be which quarterback he pairs him with. As much as I hate to admit it, I really like what Liam did at the Bucs. To pair him with Trevor Lawrence, Jaguars, that might be a piece that Trevor Lawrence could really utilize. They have a good staff around him, a lot of talent returning. I hate his guts, but, you know, I think that might be a good spot for Kupp to end up at.
Jason?
Oh, man, there's so many places he can go. It just reported the Rams that they'll eat the extra cap space to trade him, so he's 100% gone. He is a veteran. I feel like he can still be very productive right now. I kind of like him on the Commanders a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think him alongside Terry, where he's not in the wide receiver one role, and he can still contribute and be a key factor, you know, especially with a young quarterback like Jaden Daniels, I feel like Kupp would really, really help him out.
EJ?
I like the idea of Cup going somewhere where he's not a receiver one and he can kind of bring veteran leadership to a team on the come up. I'm going to go with the Broncos. I think pairing him with Cortland Sutton and Bo Nix at a young QB, I like that matchup. So
the general consensus is that pair him with a young quarterback.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm looking for.
I like the New England Patriots for him, having a chance to pair him with another young quarterback that we talk about. And if you're the Patriots and you're able to get a young wide receiver in this draft too, to pair alongside with Cooper Kupp and, like you said, bring that veteran leadership, checks all boxes to me. And you were a good offensive coordinator as well, so.
Yeah, my team got stolen. I was going to say the Commanders too, going with a young quarterback and also not being the wide receiver one, just because, I mean, how Cooper Kupp is on 33 or something like that, so. But he can be a good, like, possession receiver. Need a third down, get him. Red zone, get him. You know what I mean? So, I like the Commanders with over there with Jaden Daniels.
How much does Ertz have left on his contract? Because now you're talking about adding two veteran targets for him. I want to say this is either his last season, they got to renew him, or he got one more year.
I think he only signed 1 year.
Yeah,
one year.
It was a really short deal.
He signed a one-year, $3 million contract.
Oh, yeah, he's a free agent.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. If they lose Ertz, I think especially that'll be a great, like you said, for possession catches.
A lot of teams should be calling. I'm not going to lie. Kupp, I think Kupp is very valuable even at an old age. I think he still showed a little bit this season that he can be useful. You know what I'm saying? And any team with a young quarterback should definitely be calling the Rams phone.
I think the Carolina Panthers should call. Do I think he'll be the wide receiver one? No, because I think the still draft a wide receiver in the first round. I think they have the 9th pick or the 8th pick or something like that. I think you should surround Bryce Young with as many weapons as possible, because you've seen, you know, in the second half of the season that he's a superstar in the making. So
does Cooper Kupp want to go there, though?
It doesn't matter where he want to go.
The Rams going to trade him to where he want to go.
They probably going
to
do right
by him. And I know he ain't saying the Panthers.
It's a business, man. It's a business. You think AD wanted to go to Dallas?
Is Adam Thielen still in the Panthers?
Two different situations.
Yeah, he's still there.
Is it?
I think.
You know, speaking of AD, speaking of Dallas, let's talk about the biggest trade in sports history. Luka Doncic got traded on Saturday night to the Los Angeles Lakers to pair with LeBron James, and the Lakers sent Anthony Davis and Max Christie to Dallas. There was also a third team, the Jazz, right?
Jazz, yeah.
They got Jalen Hussefino. Tragic. He just, you know.
Bro, I rolled over.
Bro, I was asleep.
Oh, my
goodness.
Listen.
No, that's crazy, because I went to sleep early that night. I was like, bro, let me get a good night's rest, you know what I'm saying? Like, I you know, drink my warm glass of milk and brush my teeth and got all comfortable. Man, I turn over, I look at my phone, he said, "You won't believe what just happened." And of all chats that I saw it in the like 90.5 group chat too. Like groupie.
Yeah.
So I said, "Well, these boys tripping, boy." I go on Instagram, it says, "Luka Doncic has been tripping." For who? Anthony Davis? Nah, that's crazy.
And what's funny,
I thought he was getting trolled.
The Lakers had a deal in place where they could have traded Dalton Connect in like 2 or 3 first round picks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna lie, I would have probably took that deal so I could keep AD with LeBron. But I mean, you had to give AD up. Not mad at it. You got Luka Doncic. You got younger. You got better. But what are y'all thoughts, Jason? You can start.
I mean, I don't even know how this even happens. I don't know how you trade Luka. And if you do decide to trade Luka, you don't look at offers from other teams. They literally offered him up. You offered up Luka Doncic.
They caught two teams.
Like,
they caught the Milwaukee Bucks for Giannis. They said no. They caught the Los Angeles Lakers.
Like that's crazy. And now they're trying to paint the narrative that he was out of shape and, you know, eating habits. And it doesn't matter. If he was out of shape, he's still better than 99% of the league.
28-8-8.
You feel me? So I just don't see how the Mavericks even think that this is a good move. They also just trade away Quentin Grimes?
Yes, they just traded him earlier.
Yeah, they just got Caleb Martin too. So I guess they're in a win now position, but how are you in a win now position when you just made it to the finals last year with Luka? Like, there's no way it makes any sense for me. For the Lakers, you know, hats off to Rob Pelinka. If you can trade for Luka, you trade for Luka 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they trade for a center. Because Jackson Hayes is the starting center.
Jackson Hayes is the starter right now, and they only have Maxi Kleber. That's their backup.
Yeah, that's horrible. So hopefully, if they can go trade a center, man, who knows what LeBron and Luka can do.
AJ.
Jerry Jones is no longer the worst GM in Dallas.
I was like, where's he going with this?
I was trying to act like Trim, my bad. Dallas, I don't know what you're doing, honestly. There's no really justification that I'll listen to and do or I understand. Win now position, I don't see why you thought you didn't have a team to win when you just went to the finals. I don't see why you were too hasty to get older guys to your team. I mean, these guys won't be here in the next 3 to 4 years. So you're essentially selling your soul for what? To try to win now in a conference that doesn't look like you're going to win, with teams like the Thunder and the Rockets at the top? You're being too hasty. Just work with what you had. Build the chemistry, build the team, and just let it be. So I don't know what Dallas... I know what they were doing. I just don't think they were right.
You mentioned like the GM, but like, do you think Cuban knew?
No.
Cuban, I don't think Cuban knew.
Cuban's not the owner no more.
He sold the majority stake.
Yeah. But even I don't think he would have known. Even if he was, I feel like that would have happened.
It was ownership and front office.
The way Jason Kidd was looking at that press conference, he was like, he didn't know.
He didn't know.
Jason Kidd
didn't.
Jason Kidd
didn't know. Sick, bro. Oh my god.
Bro, you go to sleep having one of the best players in the NBA on your roster. You wake up in the morning, he's traded. Oh, I'm sick.
For always damaged.
For
Anthony Davis.
All right, Justin.
Listen, I have a lot to say about this. First of all, you know, I reacted very harshly to this trade in our group chat. It's not as bad, you know, as I was thinking it was. I think I was just a little bit afraid of change. I'll chalk it up to that. But after sitting about it, reading all the reports that came out, that this has to be the most embarrassing move a GM has ever made. And Nico Harrison, like, you're I hear he's losing a lot of money over season tickets over there in Dallas. You deserve it. You should. If I was a fan, I would never support that organization ever again for what they did.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. We're talking about you were set up so perfectly after Dirk leaves. Not only you were able to transition Dirk out of the NBA while mentoring Luka. That's the position you were in. And it just makes me mad because y'all know my favorite team is the Hawks, and we basically gifted bro to them. We gave them your franchise, a top three player in the world.
They gave you your franchise.
This is sad. This is a sad decision. I think for the Lakers, beautifully played. This is what you have to do. You know, this is a decision where a lot of people are saying like, oh, they didn't tell LeBron. If I was LeBron, I would feel some type of way. Let me explain something. They went and got LeBron's son this offseason. They got Russell Westbrook for LeBron a couple of years ago. I think it is perfectly fine that they say, you know what? We're not considering you this time. This is our franchise, and it's our future at the end of the day, because you can walk away whenever you want, but Luka is going to be ours forever. So that's if we have true. To trade away Anthony Davis, and it's going to cost you a chance to compete for a championship, which we weren't going to do anyways, we're going to do it. It doesn't matter. We've done a lot for you. So just take this chance to be a mentor to Luka and leave your legacy in that game that way. And I just think for Dallas, you have to at least win two championships in order to be able to justify this. You're talking about the future with 30-year-old players, guys on the other side of 30. That's your core. You're talking about future. Yeah, it's not looking bright. So, yeah, Nico, you got a lot of answers. I haven't heard enough yet.
Gee.
Well.
Bro, come on.
Man, the Mavericks snapped with that one. I ain't going to lie. And not in a good way. Just one thing I see. The Lakers, it's the Lakers always find a way to get somebody. Well,
yep.
They swear teams never want to trade with LeBron, with teams LeBron on, never want to trade with the Lakers, but the Lakers always find a way. The Lakers now had Jerry West, Elgin, Magic, Worthy, Kareem. This stuff was all happening back to back, by the way. Then you transition to the 90s. You know, you go through a little period there, but next thing you know, you got Shaq. You draft Kobe. You know, Kobe stayed there for what, 20 years?
Even in the 2000s, getting Paul Gasol.
Yeah, I'm tripping. I forgot Gasol. You get Gasol, Kobe retires.
Then you get Dwight. No, at the time, it was a big move.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah, but then he didn't do nothing there, though. All
right, bro.
These dudes I'm naming were champions in their prime.
Okay, if we're just naming champions, all right, cool.
Dwight is a champion with the Lakers, but he didn't get it in his prime.
I understand that, but I'm saying in 2012, Dwight Howard was a big move.
He didn't do nothing.
I understand that. But why are we talking like Dwight Howard a scrub?
Dwight Howard is not a scrub. He's a Hall of Famer.
Right. Respect him.
Wasn't this I about the
Dwight
Howard.
Magic legend.
He is a magic legend. I ride with Dwight Howard. But still, he didn't do nothing during that time when he was with Kobe. But you go from Kobe, then you taking all them L's, and then next thing you know, LeBron comes say today, then you get Anthony Davis. It's like they always find a way to get somebody, man.
Their all-time team is nice, boy.
But yeah, it's just a crazy trade by the Mavericks to give up their future, a guy that at least got another good, even if you say he ain't got another good 10 years, the man at least got another good 5, and you just give him up and get a Anthony Davis who's what, 31, 32. Anthony Davis has been playing good basketball though. I like Anthony Davis. I hope he does well. I mean, that team can be a little decent if everybody healthy at least, but man, I don't know. I'm not giving up no player like Luka. Especially not to no Lakers.
Yeah, nobody is. And this is what's even more embarrassing is all the reports that came out about him talking about his weight, his conditioning, anything that he tried or that organization tried to put out to justify this decision to get people to understand how they could possibly come to this decision. It's all embarrassing because you know what? If he was fat, he was fat and almost an NBA champion.
Yeah.
He was fat and almost an MVP like 3 or 4 years in a row.
He was fat and scored 70 points.
He was fat and scored 70 points on my team, by the way. Like this is just It's just so embarrassing. And the fact that this is how you treat your star player, because I'm going to be honest, it sounds like they didn't even really communicate any of this to him.
Oh, yeah, Lucas said he thought it was a joke.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm not sure if y'all watched the press conference earlier, but they had the press conference with Rob Pelinka and Luka.
He just looked sad. He doesn't know how he's there. Luka was like,
I was surprised. He was like, I'm surprised, but
Justin, you brought up Lakers a fact, like all the things that the media tried to portray. The only thing that I saw that actually kind of made just a little bit of sense was that Supermax coming up.
And oh my gosh.
Bro, you're not giving Luka the Supermax?
He's your face of the franchise.
You realize how crazy that you are not giving Luka Doncic, who has more NBA selections than Steph Curry.
I don't know.
More all NBA selections than Steph Curry.
They gave Jalen Brown 300 M's.
Yeah, but that's like,
he just took you to the finals.
Exactly.
You're not giving Luka the Supermax?
It's not just another player on the Mavericks. That's like your face of the franchise.
I know Klay Thompson probably like, man, I'm out there and winning LA for all that.
And that's not even it about the contract situation. They're talking about, oh, we didn't know if he was going to re-sign. We were afraid he was going to sign to a bigger market. And he didn't even tell you he was going to do that. You had no sort of evidence or indication that he was going to go to a bigger market and leave your team. In fact, he bought a home, or he was looking at purchasing a home in Dallas.
He bought one.
Like, this is just such an embarrassing way to handle the situation. And nobody's ever doing a deal with him again either. The fact that Danny Ainge doesn't know, like, my bad, I'm rambling.
It's crazy that Luka bought the house. Now, I'm pretty sure people in the Mavericks organization knew that in the gym for like, little do you know, boy, you got about 3 days left here.
Like, I don't know how NBA money is, you know. Clearly, I see the numbers, it's a lot. But, like, losing out on 120 M's, like, that must hurt.
He'll make that back being in L.A., though.
Yeah, 100%. Being with Jordan Brand, like, he'll definitely make it back.
Jersey sales.
Oh, yeah, through the roof.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a joke, but I'll never tell a lie. We about to see the largest influx of Lakers Luka jerseys at Florida State University the world has ever seen.
You seen Kyle Hamilton tweet?
Boys. Boy, they about to go triple, double on frats across the U.S.
But another trade went down just about 21 hours after the Luka trade. De'Aaron Fox got sent to San Antonio.
I love it.
In a three-team deal with the Bulls. Zach LaVine's going to Sacramento. Kevin Huerter and a bunch of other scrubs are going to Chicago. So what are your thoughts
on... I don't want to hear you anymore, man. Good job, Justin. I'm proud of you for getting it right last show. I'm just salty, Jim. It's not your fault.
About what?
About De'Aaron Fox going to the Spurs. We had that whole thing last time. We talked about it. I really wanted him to go to the Heat.
Sense. He sure went to the Spurs.
He sure did. And I just wanted to say congratulations, bro. Thank you. Thank you so much for leaving the Heat with the same team that we had when we started this day season.
At least y'all are winning games. We can't, like, we lost like 2 of our last games.
No one cares about the Magic.
Bro, Pat Riley is sucking his thumb while other teams are getting better actively.
Like, it's actually annoying me, bro. It's actually annoying me, bro.
What is going on?
But let's talk about the De'Aaron Fox trade. Justin, you know, since you hit it on the head, go ahead, talk about it. What's your thoughts?
Listen, man, before I even speak on the Spurs, I want to speak on the embarrassment that's the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah,
like, come on, man. Are you serious? That's all you were able to get? The fact that they're so scared of, like, just pivoting in another direction completely and just going through a full rebuild. If you're going to give away Fox, you might as well. I don't know, like, what slapping Zach LaVine on this team, I don't know what that's going to do for them. But as far as the Spurs go, listen, you give Wemby a running mate to play with for at least the next 3 years. If they're able to keep De'Aaron Fox, I think that that's a good matchup or a good pairing for Wemby for the next few years of his career. I still have some offensive concerns just about Fox's shot selection sometimes, because I think he can settle for the 3 too much.
It's all right. Pop gonna get him right on that.
He's a guy who can get to the hole whenever he wants to. I'm not ready to say that, like, the Spurs are one of the top contenders in the West right now. I think they're a move away. I think they're a move away, and I think that move is in Miami. But
what move?
Know, we'll talk about that a little bit.
You know what he's saying.
We'll talk. Yeah. We'll get into that.
You don't have anything. They don't have anything for us. There's nothing they can give us that we want.
Tripping.
But Spurs? We're
talking about that. I'm on it. The Kings. I understand the Kings are definitely an embarrassment. But no, like they're just. Oh my gosh, Zach LaVine, bro. That made my skin crawl a little bit.
Hold on. So which franchise was embarrassing the most?
Sacramento.
Sacramento or the Mavs?
Mavericks.
No, Sacramento.
You traded Luka, bro.
No.
It's both pretty bad,
you trade De'Aaron Fox. I understand he's not Luka Doncic, but like you're in the same spot. But you do get 3 first-round picks. That's the only bright spot in this trade.
Them firsts suck, bro. Them firsts are not even real. I'm telling you. I looked at them firsts are not real.
The 2025 Charlotte pick.
The Charlotte pick is not, they're not keeping. It's like top 14 something or something like that.
Top 14 protected?
The Spurs have the Hawks picks this year. Unprotected.
What about the 2027 San Antonio?
2027
pick?
They'll keep, and then what? The 2031
Minnesota.
Timberwolves.
Yeah,
those are solid.
You just say 2031, bro. That man is in middle school right now, bro.
And still gonna be there.
Will he?
And will still be there. Maybe.
He might be
actually
in Orlando.
Luka just got traded. I don't know.
Might be in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah.
Might be in Miami.
Yeah, I think the craziest thing is just that the Kings, that the Spurs were able to keep their picks and the young player. Like, the Hawks pick, I feel like I thought that was going to be a lock to get traded. If not that, at least give up maybe Sohan or something. Like
Jeff Castle.
They kept everybody, and this is how you build around a young player.
That's a fleecing.
You got Wemby. You were able to get him a veteran point guard in Chris Paul. You know what I'm saying? You brought in Harrison Barnes, who has been really good in his role. Then you trade for Fox, and, like, you still have a top pick. You still got money. Like, Spurs always run a perfect organization. I really hate what the Bulls did, honestly.
Yeah.
The Bulls ain't get really... What are the Bulls going to return?
Oh, they got Zach Collins, Trey Jones, Kevin
Herter. Why weren't the Bulls in contention for the dumbest team?
Oh, no. They definitely stink, too.
They suck.
That was a bad move, bro.
They got their own pick back from San Antonio.
Hey, but Sacramento paired up LaVine and DeRozan back together, you know? Yeah. Just in California
Sacramento
this
Bulls.
Time.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Ugh. NBA just has some dumb franchises. But, Jalen, what's your thoughts on the trade?
Oh, what? The Spurs and... Bro, listen.
I can tell you what he's going to say.
I opened my phone. My stomach did like just a sink. But honestly, it wasn't even that bad because I had the same thing happen with Damian and any other.
And Bradley Beal.
And Bradley
Beal. And Kevin Durant.
Honestly, I've never really wanted Bradley
Beal. But I'm just talking about how many players.
De'Aaron Fox?
Hmm?
Yes. We thought we were going to get every player that has existed. KD.
That's your problem. That's
Russell
problem.
Westbrook. I'm tired of it, man.
Bro, this is getting like, it's getting to a point where I understand, bro. I understand that Pat is trying to set out a team that can compete every year and that doesn't have to sacrifice any type of picks or any type of internal organization within the players that they have. We as a collective franchise are not getting better or over the hump by reusing the same teams over and over again. Only upside to this is that we've seen the press go towards that and not what we're doing on the court. Khalil Ware is going to be Rookie of the Year.
Balling. Whoa.
I said what I said. He's hooping right now.
Stephon Castle been doing this all year. Jalen Wells also been doing it all year. Khalil Ware's been doing it for 10 games.
He jumped up almost what, 300 in the odds now?
Yeah, it's pretty high.
The class stinks.
He just won rookie. He just won rookie in a month. But that's what I'm saying. That's to his point. The class stinks, right?
Wait, so he already won rookie in a month?
Yeah.
So what, December, November, October really don't count. So I mean, yeah, he split it. Yeah. He got a good
perfect, that's what I'm saying. Perfect time. I don't know what it is about us afraid to move on and get the right players.
Maybe we're afraid of change. Maybe we're just afraid of change.
But we survived every other like big change that we had.
Yeah.
Shoot, we lost Shaq. And what do we bring in a few years later? The big three. We moved on from the big three. We were just in the Eastern Conference Finals after LeBron left.
Jimmy was a change too.
Yeah.
At the time.
And then we got Jimmy. And then on top of that, shoot, I mean, if you want to call that a move, we added Kyle Lowry. That's the best we can do in the last 10 years.
You're not going to count Kyle Lowry,
Terry Rozier.
Yikes. Look me in my face and tell me Terry Rozier is the same.
That's why you looked away. That's why you looked away.
Please. That man is under investigation for shaving points. He's been playing so bad, they put him under investigation for it. You can't tell me that's not real.
All right. But speaking of the Heat, we're talking about the Heat. You know, we think they should be a big seller this deadline. Obviously, the big trade piece.
I don't know anymore.
Jimmy Butler.
They saying Jimmy might stay.
Right. But
yeah, Jimmy issued an apology.
So, out of everything we know, what trade do you guys want to see the most? And also, we can tie it into the last question. Out of that, who should be the biggest buyer and who should be the biggest seller? And also, out of those buyers and sellers, what trade would you want to see the most? We can start with Justin.
Oh man, you put me on the spot.
That's it's a complex question.
Well, I feel like the biggest buyers right now should definitely be the Golden State Warriors.
I agree.
Yeah.
Fair. It should be the Golden State Warriors. But let's be real, they're not buying anybody. It's over for 30, man. So I'm gonna say that I want the Heat to sell though, for sure. I want the Heat to sell. They definitely need to sell Jimmy Butler. Get him off of your roster. Move forward. And listen, I want the Spurs to go ahead and go get Jimmy Butler. I'm telling you right now. I think that you have a chance to put a core around Wimby. First of all, you get to put a personality like Jimmy Butler around Wimby. You know, somebody who has experience winning at a high level, who can kind of teach your guy how to go through that route. I also think that this is a chance to really compete for a championship with Wimby in his rookie contract. And a lot of teams can't say they do that. I think that that could be something that is special for your franchise to get a chance to win a chip on his rookie contract. I think you have the pieces to make it happen as well. And if you get a third team involved, you have cap space too. And it's somewhere I see Jimmy being able to re-sign as well. So I want the Spurs to go ahead and get Jimmy Butler, man.
Jimmy is 35 though.
That's what I was thinking. I know, like you talking about re-signing. Like he's nearing the end of. That's why he's trying to go to a winning.
He's getting one more contract.
He's basically trying to force himself into Phoenix, and that's wrong. Like kind of beating around it. He's trying to get the Phoenix. That's the biggest thing.
That's what I was going to respond to Justin with that. Yeah. Even if the Spurs had a trade offer for him, he himself would say no.
He turned down the Warriors.
He's turned down every team but the Suns. And the problem is the Suns. Bradley Beal has that no trade thing. So.
I think the Warriors should be the biggest buyer, and there's reports coming out that they're making
they're calling for everybody
every
superstar.
And I think
they even call me. I said I ain't got nobody for y'all. Huh?
I think the move they need to make, go get Kevin Durant. Like that's what I want to see. I want to see them get Kevin Durant. And I know it's in hindsight, you know, thinking back, I'm a big LeBron guy. I hated seeing Kevin Durant play for the Warriors, but like. I think now where the NBA is at, I think we kind of need that.
What would they give for KD though?
Anything but Steph Curry. Go get it.
So
go do it.
So okay, you're putting like I know they're still, you know, elite players, but you're putting an aging KD with an aging Curry. Mm-hmm. And you're expecting them to win now. Okay, great. They're in contention.
That's not good for their future.
What the heck Who happens cares about 2 to 3 years down the road?
What did Dallas do? They made a win now move. You gotta go make a win now move.
The Dallas Mavericks are not winning anything.
Go get KD. Go get KD.
Interesting take. It's not that I'm mad. It's just the win now, the situation. It just feels like they're not the top dogs.
Because you're 2 to 3 years from now, you were at literally the bottom scum of the conference.
Well, they were at the bottom when they drafted Steph. You just got to start from somewhere. You just got to rebuild.
You know how long ago that was?
But you don't rebuild by getting old people.
No. you win championships. And then look at the Rams. They put all the chips to the table.
I know the Rams is probably the best. The Rams is probably the best comparison for a team that, you know, sold everything for old guys. And I understand they did get their ring, but it's really tough for me to see that translate in the NBA for real. For me, at least. It's just Curry and KD, I don't think even those two.
I agree,
two.
Because, like, you know, NFL, you got more draft rounds, you can get more gems.
Yeah.
But that's what I want to see. I want to see KD back on the Warriors. But Jason?
I want to see the Bucks buy. I don't really know what they really could get realistically.
Brad.
But maybe they could. Maybe. I don't know. But the Bucks, you know, they started kind of rough. They've been building it back up. Giannis is playing amazing basketball. You know, Dame and him has really been putting it back together. But I still feel like I don't know. I don't feel confident with them going into the playoffs this year with teams like the Cavs and the Celtics.
Atrocious.
Who?
The Bucks.
Oh yeah, 100%. That's what I started.
They're
bringing
missing
Middleton
a lot of. Yeah. They're missing a lot of pieces. I would like to see them do something.
Well, interesting enough, not to take anybody's time away, but I actually heard that the Warriors were interested in Bobby Portis. And I think a really good piece that the Bucks could maybe look at off of the Warriors roster is Andrew Wiggins. That's a move I would really like for him to make as
that
well.
That just made me upset. I'm like, we're talking about big moves and you're talking about Andrew Bobby Portis.
I think that a move like Bobby Portis could still be good for the Warriors too in the long run as well. But mostly I'm looking at this from the angle of the Bucks. If you're able to pick up Andrew Wiggins to add to Damian Lillard and Giannis, we know Middleton is probably on his way out the door as well. So maybe you could consider offering that to the Warriors too, offering an aging Middleton to go with Steph.
EJ?
It's tough for me to say a buyer right now, but as for seller, and I'm saying this to be different, I admit it. But I was going to say the Sixers in terms of a seller. I know it's...
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah, it's just, just mainly Paul George. I don't... think is working, even though he's averaging 17, which surprised
Joel
me.
Embiid too.
Joel Embiid too. I just think where they are in the Eastern Conference, I think it's just that time, like, you know, just start selling. But as for a buyer, it's tough for me to say a team that y'all haven't said between the
Orlando
and the
Magic. Go get a point guard.
That's true as well, but no one's really thinking of the Magic.
G, you got a team?
I think I throw out a team. I don't think y'all mentioned yet. But maybe the Clippers.
Buyer or seller?
Buying.
Okay.
You know, they've been looking kind of decent this year. And
I don't think decent's the word. But you know, I'm a little fan, so.
Shoot, they got an all-star. Oh, you're saying they look better than decent?
Yeah.
Oh, you're tripping.
We're sixth seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah. They're separated by like a game and a half from the AC.
I know, I'm just saying. But that's real though. When I talked to y'all about this, y'all like we wouldn't be in the play-in.
I thought it was going to be in a lottery.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like too. For where they're at now and how they've been playing, I can't say it's time for them to buy. I think you got to rock out with your team. Kawhi's back. Team's looking healthy. Norman Powell's playing like he probably should have been an all-star. But he's going to be most improved, for sure.
Trae Young should have been an all-star.
I think the Clippers are where they are right now. I think they're straight. But I got a question, though, G. Who you think they should go get?
I feel like they needed another big or something.
I'm not mad at that. Yeah. There is no backup for Zubac.
Yeah. I feel like another big helped them out.
Nick Claxton.
But Pelinka said during the press conference, the market for bigs ain't really hitting on nothing. So I don't know if that's true for every team, but he was just saying that in regards to the Lakers.
This is a little like off topic, bro. I just read this. Anthony Davis isn't playing tonight. He's out with an abdominal strain. You mean to tell me you got hurt getting off the plane? How does that happen?
He ain't been hurt.
Nah.
No, he was just playing.
But also, they could be doing that because you can't really say load management no more because you'll get, like, fined. So you got to say something.
They might still be getting, might still be unpacking his bag.
Jason and I were talking.
That's funny what
Jason
you said.
And I were talking about, like, when he would go out to his debut. And now they're saying Thursday against the Celtics.
AD ain't playing a minute, though. AD ain't played since the 28th.
He hasn't? Okay, maybe I'm tripping.
Nah. He didn't play against the Knicks?
I could have sworn he played against the Knicks.
He didn't play against the Knicks. 0 minutes.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, because they just play Saturday. But, all right. Okay.
Talk about that man got hurt getting off the plane. You crazy, bro.
How you already out with an abdominal strain?
Anybody else has any more teams they want to throw out there?
I think the Hawks need to go ahead and get off Capella and Bogey.
Yeah,
just go see what you can get from him. Don't try and get the best offer in the world. Just get him off your roster.
Justin, did you want to present that trade you had with Trae Young and the Heat and everything?
Yeah, that's interesting. Let's end the show on that.
Interesting trade. Well, I got to remember it off the top, but I said that in order for the Hawks to get their picks back from the San Antonio Spurs, if the Spurs were to make a move for Jimmy Butler, I would go ahead and send Trae Young and his stuff to Miami. I think that Trae Young could be a point guard that you take with Khloe Ware and Bam Adebayo into your future. I know the fit with here on the backcourt defensively might be kind of wonky.
Barbecue
but
chicken.
Wonky? What? Boy, that's
I could go score.
Floodgates.
but I think that it's a worse version of the Cavaliers and the fact that the front court is going to be deadly defensively. And you could also consider upgrading off of Hero down the line as well if you decide to re-sign Rayford. Rayford is Trey, by the way. When his contract ends, I believe, in 2026. So I also think that I explained my reasoning for why I would want the Spurs to go ahead and get Jimmy Butler. I think if you're the Hawks, you have a chance to go get some young pieces and get off of the Rayford era, which is coming to an end. I don't see a way that they're going to be able to build a contender around him. I know they've been trying to do it, but it's just going to take too long. And me personally, I don't think he's going to want to re-sign there. And if you lose him for nothing, then it's like then your future is really out of whack because you don't even have your picks. You didn't even get any picks back for him.
Yeah.
And you could. So I would just go ahead and try and get the picks back from the Spurs and move forward into the 2025 draft. You can go get a comment for your center. And then next year you're looking at, you know, Darren Peterson, if you're bad enough, you know, you have a chance to get some plays in 25 in the 26 class. So that's what I want. But yeah.
Solid trade.
Yeah.
Any opinions?
I like it.
I was skeptical at first, but you know what? The more you explained it, that actually makes a lot of sense.
Because at first, when you were talking about the Jimmy Butler to the Spurs trade, I was like, who would the Spurs give the Heat that would, you know, work out? But when you do a three-team deal like that, Trae Young on the Heat,
get your picks,
Spurs get the Butler, and the Hawks get the picks, I think everyone gets kind of, it's kind of like a win-win-win situation
like
for me.
Yeah, I like that trade a lot.
Let me tell you why it's not happening. Because I think that the Spurs have already shown, like, they have our trump card. They know that we're not going to be good enough to really justify moving off of those picks, which is why they didn't give him up for Fox. When they realized they didn't have to, they're like, okay, well, the Hawks, they're struggling this year. They had their second best player is out for the season, and we don't know what that roster is going to look like next year, so we might as well just go ahead and keep the pick and rock out with it, because we could, you know, eventually have traded DeJounte Murray, and that ends up being Cooper Flagg, you know. So I think they're in a position right now where they're not trying to move off our picks and give us any sort of advantage in any situation. And maybe if we threw out that Lakers 2025 pick we have this year, they would consider doing it. But even then, I think that's a long stretch.
Alrighty. To end the show, you know, G hasn't been on in a while. Jason, not normally on. So they're going to give their Super Bowl predictions. So we can start with you, Jason.
Okay. I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs, the three-peat.
Yeah.
You know, don't really want to see it, but it is what it is.
History.
I think they have a better team, honestly. I think that they know how to win. I believe in Andy Reid in order to put up a game plan to not stop, but limit Saquon in the rushing attack. And if they can do that, I believe you can beat the Eagles. Yeah. So I just trust in their experience more. And we're about to see a three-peat for the first time in our lives. So.
G.
Man, I'm going to say Eagles 35-28.
Yes, sir.
He want to be different.
It's hard to win three times in a row, man.
It is.
It's hard to win three times in a row. It's hard to win one championship. I think the Eagles going to get them around this time. I mean, it was a good Super Bowl they played last time. But I just think just the way the Eagles been looking – with Saquon and Hurts and just all that they got going on, I think it's the Eagles' time to hoist the trophy, and the Chiefs can enjoy the Kendrick concert at halftime.
You know, I'm going to end it off with this.
You already gave your prediction.
Nah,
just
I definitely
end the show.
Did. I definitely did. Just one more thing.
They not like us.
95-96 like Bulls. 96-97. 97-98 Bulls. This is what this team remind me of.
You were not here.
You wasn't there, bro, because I wasn't there.
There are so many other franchises you can... That three-peated, and you went with the 96 Bulls.
You could have
Mahomes
you could
MJ.
At least you could at least said the Lakers with Kobe
see,
and Shaq.
Do you not see?
At least you
no.
Some of that.
They weren't as good as Mahomes is in football. Jordan was. Mahomes might actually be better.
Didn't the Lakers go 16-1 in they playoff run?
That's cool.
I just want to do the shout outs, bro.
They went 16-1.
That's cool.
And you know where that L came from?
Iverson.
That boy AI.
Yeah, that was a good dub. He went to Cancun though with one loss. I mean one win. Four losses. They lost. But Mahomes don't do that though. But now on the shout-outs, man. My favorite part of this show, guys. Got to give a shout-out to God. You know, without him, we wouldn't be able to do what we do every day, do what we love in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication. I got to give a shout-out to the guys. Everybody did good today, you know. Been pushing out a lot of episodes. Primetime been doing good. Live show been doing good. Podcast, great. Got to shout-out my guys in the O, you know. Hopefully, we can get some wins together, put a trade, get a point guard like Anthony Simons, bring him back home.
Bro, why I thought you was shout out your homeboys? He's talking about the Magic.
Hey, remember who that was? He shout out that got a contract.
Paulo.
Nah, Jalen. Jalen got Jalen. Yeah, he had his $150 million contract before the season started
that was
in October.
Such a crazy way to end the show.
But Paulo finna get a contract this summer. Get a supermax. Gonna get a supermax.
Yeah. Pass the mic, bro.
Go ahead, EJ.
Shout out to God. Shout out to the guys in the studio. Shout out to G stopping by. Absolutely. Appreciate it. Shout out to the graduation coming up soon. I gotta submit my form, but when I get the days, I'm definitely be counting down.
Definitely.
Jason.
Man, shout out to God and shout out to y'all, bro. Feel me?
Nah, you did good today,
dog. Yeah, this is my first time here. You know, hopefully it's not the last time. The energy good. Y'all vibing. You feel me? Shout out to my mama. I called her before I did this. She gave me a little pep talk. So, you know, I appreciate her. And yeah.
Hey, man. Shout out God, man. Shout out our professors. Shout out my parents. Shout out my little sister, man. And just keep tuning in to Playmakers, man. We do this for y'all.
Justin.
Hey, shout out to God. Shout out to all y'all in this room right now. I know y'all are doing some great things at school right now.
I appreciate it.
Shout out to G. I seen G the other day at the gym. I want to give a shout out to you, bro, because I see you getting that work in, bro. I ain't want to interfere with your workout, but, you know, next time I holler at you for sure. But yeah, shout out to Luca too. I'm wishing the best for you. Go. You look a little sad, but it's gonna be all right. You know, we get in that LA marketing, biggest star in the NBA like you should be, bro. So you got it.
Luca, Hawks legend, along with Carmelo.
Stop.
But no, man. First off, shout out to God, man, and shout out to y'all boys for having me on today. You know, and I've been a little minute since I've been on. You know, since graduation, but you know, life is good. Shout out to the fam for being able to go home and see them for a little minute. Everybody doing good, everybody in good health, and you know, I ain't got no favorite number no more because I ain't counting down to graduation no more. So
it should be 5. Paulo and Carol number.
Yo, bro, cut his mic.
Bro. Nah,
1-5 for Patrick Mahomes.
I don't even got nothing else to say.
1-5. See, 5 for Paulo Banchero. 1-5 for Patrick Mahomes. Like, bro, what are we doing? Crazy. Like, 5 is just the number. Just the aura. Oh, my gosh. Gets me giddy.
He just, for the listeners, he just smiled and kicked his feet. Like, actively, I watched him do that under the desk. Anyways, Mike, close out the show.
Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WNM FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.